Co-retro. Kia ora koutou and welcome to Classical Chromatics. This is my third program. I am Claire Martin, part of the Radio 13 Music Collective, and we're broadcasting live tonight. It's very exciting. It's a live frisson. And in the studio helping me tonight on technology and questioning is Sir Simon William Todd, also from the Radio 13 Music Collective. And he's going to help me because tonight I'm going to get up close and personal with the music selections and choose to share a little bit of my own story with a kind of a Desert Island Discs format. So to help me with that, I thought it might be nice to have some questioning being thrown to me by Sir Simon. So welcome and thank you very much, Simon, for helping out.
Oh, you're welcome, Claire. It's a pleasure to be here. And recently knighted, it would seem.
Yes, I think that if you're going to be helping me, that takes a knighthood. That's very nice to have some help. Although I've broadcast pre-recorded before, I thought we'd try the live because it also improves on the quality of the classical music tracks, which is something that I'm keen to do, so which you don't get with the pre-record. So the journey begins with Bach, and my first selection, which I might talk about a little bit more afterwards, is J.S. Bach's St. Matthew Passion, and it's the contralto aria Erbarme Dich, sung by Julia Hamary with Karl Richter conducting Otto Büchner on violin. 1971 recording of Erbarme Dich from the St. Matthew Passion.
Thank you.
Erbarme Dich from St. Matthew Passion, Julia Hamery Contralto, Karl Richter conducting, Otto Büchner on violin, the Münchener Bach Orchestra, recorded in 1971, and I'm Claire Martin, in case you hadn't caught that one initially, presenting Classical Chromatics Program Number 3 live in the studio, Planet 104.6, and I'm going to be talking about a bit of a journey of my kind of desert island discs, if you like, and I'm being helped in the process, both technically and firing questions at me in a moment, is Sir Simon William Todd, who's also in the studio with me. And we're going to move on in a minute, but welcome again, Simon.
Thanks a lot, Claire. So we're on a desert island. Incidentally, is this a Pacific desert island or a Atlantic one?
Oh, I think it would be Aotearoa.
Would it?
Yeah, the island with the long, light, white cloud. Must be. Because that's where I started. That's in Wellington. So that was my beginning. Yeah.
So everyone else is gone. You're just here by yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which part of the day would you choose to listen to that? What would have to inspire you to put that track of all the tracks you've chosen on?
I think when I want to reclaim some peace in my life. It is a very connecting piece. It's talking of having mercy, and it is directly kind of connects into the heart. So it's a sort of thing where you would need some contemplation time.
And why did you choose that particular version?
Julia Hamery is the only singer that I want to listen to singing that song. Having discovered her, it's the beauty of YouTube, and she has a warm tone but also a very pure voice, so that it's carries the compassion of the expression direct to my heart, really. She sings with incredible technical skill too, with superhuman phrases. Her breath span is incredible, and interestingly she's singing that off the score, so she's really singing it from the heart.
And do you recall the first time you heard that piece? Not necessarily that version, but that piece, was it?
Yes, it was the very first choir performance I did as a young singer. I was 15, I think. I joined the Bach choir, and the very first piece of music I got to perform, how special is that, is J.S. Bach's St. Matthew Passion. And when I heard the soloist perform, I thought, wow, that's incredible, the power and the beauty. How can they do that? And that sort of sparked an interest to try singing myself, and went on this journey of studying and performing in music.
And you came into the choir because, how did you become involved in a classic, is that the right word, classical choir?
Yes, a classical choir, because I had music at home, and I think it was a challenge. It was more challenging to me. All around me was disco. It was the wonderful era in the 1970s of disco music, and there was punk going on. And actually, classical was different. It was different to be interested in classical, and it was also a much more depth, a sort of in-depth kind of a music form for me. And just the sheer athleticism intrigued me of the solo singing.
That's an interesting word.
Mm.
I've never thought about that in terms of musical.
Yeah, it's a bit superhuman, really,
to
be able to cut over an orchestra and fill a hall of 3,000 people with no microphone. I think it's pretty cool.
Especially nowadays, because so-called opera singers these days have handheld mics, do they not?
Some of the kind of commercial productions
ones.
Of opera pieces. Mm. Yeah, you've got some miking going on.
It's not real, is it?
It's not. No, it's not the real thing.
No space for on this show.
Good. No. No microphones allowed.
What's next up?
There is French music. Ma Mère Louis, Maurice Ravel's Mother Goose, and I chose some excerpts from this piece because the childhood spoke to me. It's very much a fantasy to be able to lift yourself into the fairy tales. So we're going to have three tracks. The first track is Sleeping Beauty, Pavane de la Belle au Bois Dormant. And then we jump to Little Tom Thumb, Petit Poussé. I love those words. And then we're going to go over to the Empress of the Pagodas to finish Maurice Ravel's Mamelui.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
three sections from Ravel's Ma Mère Louis, or Mother Goose, conducted by Charles Dutoit with the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, and a sweet simplicity, really, and a piece of nostalgia, because it takes me right back to my childhood and becoming hooked on French orchestral sounds, which airlifts you into the fairy tales.
Very nice. I liked it a lot. I might listen to it again when I'm going to sleep tonight. So when we left Bach, you were still in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And for the next track, we find you in England, in Manchester. What was how did you get there?
Through a pathway of music. Music was always a experiment for me. Didn't believe that it could be a career, and it really took me decades before I sort of believed in myself as a musician. But one of the steps was to audition and get into the Royal Northern College of Music in Manchester, and I went over there in 1993. Boy, that feels a long time ago. Having done a Bachelor of Music at Victoria University in Wellington, and I got switched on to a whole range of more music over in Manchester, including wonderful romantic composers who weren't played in my house growing up. There was a lot of Bach, there was a lot of Bartok, and not an awful lot in between. So I've selected some Mahler, which is a very lush romantic sound. And that's partly because I heard some wonderful singers perform Mahler, and I also had the privilege of performing Lieder einer fremden Gesellen with an orchestra, and fell in love with the whole Mahler sound. So I've decided to play Ich bin der Welt abhanden gekommen, an orchestral song by Gustav Mahler, performed by Janet Baker with Sir John Barbaroli and the New Philharmonia Orchestra, recorded in 1969, and it describes something that I feel very personal to me, which is that in the poem, which is Friedrich Rückert, it's a Rückert poem, that music removes you from the world, and it is describing how you wish to remain lost to the world, and to stay in the peace and the quietness of music, to be alone in your heaven, and to be stuck in the song, in the joy of the song. Thank you. Janet Baker performing Ich bin der Welt abhanden gekommen, Gustav Mahler's setting of Rückert's poem, I Am Lost to the World. And that's kind of how I feel when I listen to Janet Baker's performance. It's a kind of a reverie. And I chose her particular rendition because she has this, she sits back on the voice and it's not at all operatic. And she has this purity again, a bit like the other singer we've played this evening, and has a circumspect quality which seems to really match that sense of removal from the world's noise, as well as these incredible high notes. She was a mezzo-soprano, and it's normally a soprano that would deliver those very floating, beautiful pianissimo top notes. But Janet Baker was an extraordinary artist.
So from Manchester to London, and you find yourself as a professional singer, which you said was a very competitive thing to be in. How do you balance something you love doing, something you're passionate about, with the stress of having such a, have to fight for what, every job?
Yeah, that is, it was indeed, that is the trick, is to see if you can make your art form a business and to retain the sense of joy and passion in the performance. It can be really put to the test when you're traipsing around an hour and a half on the tube and you arrive and there's just the loo to warm up and then you're going into a audition situation and singing something poetic or even dramatic. I recall one audition singing in Polish, a very tragic tale of throwing your baby into the icy drink and then looked across the audition panel and they were reading the paper and eating a ham roll. You know, it's a little bit soul-destroying, frankly. So it's very hard to keep the faith in yourself and your art. And it's a very hard marketplace, and I think in these days in Europe it's even harder, but of course I'm over here in Aotearoa.
And it's a little easier here?
Well, it's in classical music it's not necessarily easier. Obviously there's a small marketplace here, and there is some very good opera and good excellent classical music being performed. For myself, it was a different sort of a journey. I'm in all sorts of music, as you know, and I perform in jazz and also in a Leonard Cohen band now. So I've really diversified. But I'm grateful for the immersion in the classical world and opera world as well.
And it seems that, I don't know about the rest of the country, but in Auckland it seems to have been the opening of the bigger venues, maybe medium-sized venues, has maybe made the accessibility and the scope to put more on better. Is that true? Or?
Yeah, it's also not so hard to get around this place. You know, the city is a big city, but it is actually easier to go from your job to an amazing concert at 6:30 p.m. And there is a huge amount of music and culture going on in the cities in New Zealand. And we're very lucky, actually. We also get all the international artists coming through. A lot of people want to come and perform in New Zealand. So we get to hear a fantastic range of artists here too.
And for young people who are interested in maybe becoming a classical musician, it can't just all be about your talent as a vocalist. It has to be about some savvy about business and kind of like having your own little kind of personal business, right?
Yeah, I think that it's probably a huge amount of tenacity. As well as the discipline of being in that kind of art world, it's the stickability and great self-belief. So it's not an easy place to be.
But it's one where I'm glad you are. You've chosen Britain, Benjamin Britten, for your next choice, Claire.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That's a bit of a harking back to my days in London and tripping around UK as a professional opera singer and performing in various places. And one of the areas that I went to was Suffolk. And Benjamin Britten himself wrote this piece that I'm going to play in Peas and All. Do you know Peas and All in Suffolk at
all? I've never been to Suffolk, to be honest.
Right. Well, the little villages and medieval, very, very connected to a lot of the history through that area, and marshlands and the bitter North Sea with the winds coursing across the marshlands and this very... not bleak, but wild, you could say, beach. And I think this piece is takes me to that landscape. It's his variations on a theme of Frank Bridge. And it is got this wilderness, and it's also got this extremely sort of eerie, troubled kind of nature. And I guess when it was written in 1937, just before World War II, it's a precursor for troubled times.
Some more Polish women throwing their babies into the
sea.
Yeah,
there is. It's what's happening on the Saturday night here on Planet FM.
Chant by Benjamin Britten, part of his Variations on a Theme of Frank Bridge. Before that, we heard Funeral March and Adagio. Claire, who is Frank Bridge?
Frank Bridge was a key composer in English music and was actually Benjamin Britten's composition tutor. So Benjamin Britten wrote the Variations as a homage to Frank Bridge.
That's exactly the same word I was going to use.
Homage.
But I was
going to
pronounce
that, isn't it?
Homage.
Homage. You see, if it's French, it could be homage.
Yeah. Trebbiam.
Yeah, so that was the Bournemouth Sinfonietta, directed by Ronald Thomas.
Yeah. So the professional singing is going well, and then you find yourself at the Royal Opera House Covent Garden, an event managing for a small opera touring company, and putting together operas in gardens of stately estates around the English countryside.
Yeah, logistical, organisational, massive challenges of getting an orchestra, a team of singers, costumes, scenery, staging, chairs to various parts of England. And you might do one only performance of something like Don Giovanni, and then you're packing up and going to the next place.
But
so
fun?
It was extremely stressful, actually. So anything compared to that sort of stress is kind of pales in comparison. The Royal Opera House was different. That was working in the front of house department, actually, doing the wonderful role of working as the backstage tours manager and taking people into the incredible departments of the Royal Opera House to show them the Royal Ballet at work and how they make wigs and the scenery, construction and all that business. And we also had the chance of watching the Royal Ballet and not only rehearsal but all the performances, and seeing singers such as Placido Domingo and so on perform on the stage. So it was incredible. In fact, it was the Domingo performance that I raced around all day, I recall, and then didn't have time to eat. And went and got standing tickets to hear Domingo sing for the first time, and he was my absolute hero at that time for a tenor, for an operatic tenor. And recall feeling, okay, I'm quite tired, and how am I going here? And then thinking, this isn't a good time to feel unwell. And he started his aria, E luce van le stelle, and I fainted. And I remember them coming to, and I'd fainted through swing doors. So I'd hit my head on the way through, and my feet were sticking out, and my boss and all the bigwigs of the Royal Opera House had turned around to see the backstage tours manager flat out with a lump on her head, and I'd never heard him sing live.
Oh.
So
is that why you didn't choose him as the lead for your next track?
Yeah, he was sacked.
Gone for Carreras instead.
Well, with maybe I would choose Domingo for something like Otello, but I've chosen this particular artist, and it's José Carreras, to sing E luce van le stelle, because the early Carreras is so special. And also Herbert van Karajan, who conducts this particular performance, gives him the space to really set the mood. And he has the most beautiful, vulnerable top voice, and which I think you need. This is an Act 3 aria, in which Cavaradossi is preparing for to meet his end. Unfortunately, he is to be executed in the morning, and he's looking at the night sky, the stars, the stelle, and saying, now that I am in love with Flora Tosca, and now at this point in my life when I'm at my most happy, now I have to die in the morning. So it's yet another death in the evening. I apologize for that, and your Saturday night, but the singing, the performance of this is sublime.
Thank you.
Luce van Le Stelle from Act 3 of Tosca with José Carreras tenor, Herbert von Karajan conducting the Berlin Philharmonic.
Thank you again, Claire. That was one I knew this time, but it was nonetheless very enjoyable. Mm. And I've not heard the Carreras version of it before. I think I've just been bombarded with multiple Pavarotti versions of that one before. So you're now back in New Zealand and doing lots more than classical music.
Yes.
In fact, I do believe you are gigging tomorrow night, are you not?
Yes, at Q Theatre. We actually sold out our Leonard Cohen tribute band, Imperfect Offering, are performing at Q tomorrow night. But I do bits of jazz and so on as well. And write with your good self for Music Radio 13, the music website. So I do some music reviewing for them. Yes, so that thank you so much for joining me and throwing me some questions.
Well, you're very welcome. It's just a shame I can't enjoy your company on this desert island, for you will be alone on it, just with your music.
Just with my music, yes.
It's a pleasure, and I will be back same time next week for my show, which always welcome to come
indeed.
On to.
Indeed. Oh, that'll be fun.
Tell me what you think of my choices.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I think we should all do a Desert Island Discs,
every DJ. It's a very good idea.
Yeah, so in view of our eclectic collection, as Roger would say, another DJ, I've chosen Bartok's Romanian Folk Dances to finish, the Danubia Orchestra, conducted by Domonkos Heja. And this is also teamed up with the Muzsikas, isn't that a great name, a Hungarian folk band, and they do a version of the Romanian folk dances here, just to lift the mood and say thank you very much for joining me. And come back on the fourth Saturday of next month, and you can live stream this on planetaudio.org.nz/classical chromatics at your leisure. Thank you very much for joining me. This is Claire Martin, Classical Chromatics.